have a warrant for your arrest for the murder of William Little, who was the gas station attendant.
But you're wrong.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff.
This is discoverable, I think justice would deem a necessary tender. Therefore, I'm going to grant the defendant's motions subject to...
What you just heard was the first positive ruling that Jamie Snow has heard from any judge connected to his case since 1999. 22 years after his arrest for the murder of Bill Little, Jamie continues to fight for his freedom and to clear his name. And in today's episode, he's here with me to explain to you what you just heard and to update you on the progress of his case.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that you did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Say goodbye to the dish and hello to Sky Stream, the new way to get Sky over Wi-Fi. So you can get unmissable Sky shows like The Last of Us and Succession, as well as Netflix and Discovery Plus, and loads more, all in one subscription for £26 a month. Oh, and next day delivery with no upfront fee. Sky Stream, TV simplified. Head to sky.com. Requires Sky Stream and broadband minimum speed, 10 megabits per second, 18-month minimum term. Cut-off times apply for next day delivery. Excludes bank holiday, 18 plus, terms apply.
Jamie Snow was the subject of Season 7 of Truth and Justice. If you didn't listen to Season 7 yet, you really should. But here's the Reader's Digest version of the case, in case you haven't listened to it or just as a refresher if you have. On Easter Sunday in 1991, 18-year-old Bill Little was working as a gas station attendant at a Clark gas station in Bloomington, Illinois. That night, someone walked into the very tiny gas station, and for some reason, Bill knew something was wrong. He triggered the silent alarm system with a hidden button. We know that a few minutes passed after he pushed the button before the robber shot Bill in the chest, killing him almost instantly. At the moment of the gunfire, a neighbor, Danny Martinez, happened to be in the parking lot putting air in his tires. The shots startled him. He says that he thought his car was backfiring, but he took a few steps towards the gas station and then turned back towards his car and then repeated the process. Not sure what to do in the moment. And right then, across the street was a Bloomington police officer who had responded to the silent alarm. He witnessed Martinez's indecisive movements from across the street. Danny would later tell police that he actually saw the killer walk out of the station after he heard the shots, and that's why he kept turning back and forth. This killing was completely senseless. The killer escaped with the cash register drawer that contained less than $100. And at first, the investigation looked promising. Police had Martinez as an eyewitness, and there was a young boy named Carlos Luna who was watching everything happen through a window from across the street. But things fell apart for the lead detective, Charles Crow, pretty quickly when he brought in his suspects and put them in a lineup for Martinez. But Danny wasn't able to identify the man that he saw running out of the gas station. Jamie Snow was one of those suspects. And not just once, but multiple times Martinez saw Jamie in lineups and never once identified him as the man from the gas station. Snow at one point even agreed to take a polygraph test to get the investigators to leave him alone. And when he took it, he passed. And then years went by and the case went cold. And in 1997, Detective Crow finally retired, and a pair of brand new detectives took on the cold case. they were determined to close the case and make a name for themselves. Detectives Dan Katz and Rick Barks suddenly, now, 8 years after the murder, made massive leaps forward in the investigation. Jailhouse snitches came out of the woodwork, claiming that they had heard Jamie confess. Danny Martinez suddenly now was able to positively ID Jamie. And even young Carlos Luna, not so young anymore, was able to positively ID Jamie through a window, across the street, nearly a football field away from the crime scene, at night. So in 1999, Jamie was arrested for the murder of Bill Little. And his trial reads like a choose-your-own-adventure story. Even the prosecutor told the jury that they should ignore the fact that all the witnesses and snitches that they had seen were all telling not only different, but conflicting stories. The jury was told, just pick out the parts that do fit together and forget the rest. And it's apparently exactly what they did, because Jamie was ultimately convicted and has been fighting for his freedom ever since. There's obviously a lot more to the story. Jamie's public defender was later disbarred and sent to prison. The first cop on the scene that night is currently serving a 440-year prison sentence himself, and Jamie's supposed accomplice was actually acquitted at her trial. That jury didn't believe that Jamie and her were involved at all. And through our investigation on the show, we were even able to piece together a series of connections that brought a whole new suspect into the case. And there's much, much, much more. You just have to listen to Season 7 to get all those details. But for today, you're going to get to hear from Jamie himself. I want to apologize up front for any lack of audio quality. We actually had a really difficult time getting this call arranged to begin with. Thanks to Tam Alex, we were able to get it done. But unfortunately, Jamie only had 20 minutes for the first call. And then when he called back, he had a hard out about 10 minutes later. But nevertheless, we had a great conversation. It was great to hear from Jamie and catch up with him. So, without any further ado, here he is. How's it going, Jamie?
What's going on, Bob? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Freezing up here. Probably freezing there, too, huh?
Yeah, man. It's a little cold, but I'll tell you what. I would rather have the cold than the heat, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys probably, like most prisons, don't have air conditioning.
No, not the ones in Illinois.
Yeah, Texas is the same way. The guys down there always say they hate the summertime.
You know, I always thought that them southern states would have air, but I guess not, huh?
not for the prisoners. What does it matter if they're comfortable?
Yeah, that's that ought to be cruel and inhumane punishment.
Right. So how you been, bud? It's been a little while since I talked to you. I know we've got some updates in the case, and we just got through Thanksgiving. I want to hear about your nachos.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't able to do them this year. I guess the supply chain breakdown, you know, out there is reaching us too. So,
oh wow,
you know, couldn't get no. No nacho chips, couldn't get any, no cheese, and so I just had to make some burritos this year.
Oh, that's a bummer. Did you make up some pretty good burritos?
Yeah, you know what? They weren't too bad. It's, you know, they got these steam pipes here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, when they turn the heat on, the steam pipes aren't wrapped, right? So you can just, you know, you roll your burritos up, you know, you get everything you're going to put in them. And you put them in a potato chip bag, and you put them on them steam pipes, and you know, put some butter on them before you put them on. And man, I'm gonna tell you what, they come out, they're golden brown, like they just came out of deep
no
fryer.
Shit.
So yeah, they turned out good.
Nice. It, you know, some of the innovations you guys have just absolutely amaze me.
I mean, man, you know, you gotta figure out ways to make it, as livable as possible, man, you know?
Sure. So,
but, you know, we went to commissary today, so I was able to get me some nacho chips today, and I did get me some cheese today, and so I will definitely be making some nachos for Christmas.
Christmas nachos, that's good.
Yep, definitely.
So tell me about, I want to get into how you're doing in general here in a little bit, but first of all, there's been some major developments in your case. I updated the audience a little while back. I was in a Zoom hearing, or I was watching via Zoom, where you had filed a motion to try to get some more documents that the state had been withholding. And you just had a ruling. There's been some movement. So can you kind of update everybody on, and you can explain it better than me, as far as what that hearing was for and what the ruling is and what it could mean for you going forward?
Well, we had filed a motion for discovery to get all of the documents surrounding the forensic testing that we're trying to get done. And, we wanted to know what they recovered, what has been tested, where everything is at. And the judge issued a subpoena for that. And, instead of, I guess, them just going through and pulling out the forensic, documents, they just did basically a document dump on my attorneys. And it turned out that there was, almost 8,000 pages of documents that we had never seen before. So, we went in there and my lawyers are like, okay, well now wait a minute, we want all this stuff, because, there's going to come a point in time when the state is going to argue against, trying to let us do the forensic testing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically my lawyers were like, listen, we need these documents to be able to, defend against this motion to dismiss that we know is coming. And, I wish I could have bottled up the feelings and everything that transpired in that court that day, Bob, when the judge ruled in our favor and told the state they had to turn that over. Cause man, it was the greatest feeling after 22 years of this to finally have a judge give me a positive ruling. And he turned it over. He told them to turn it over. And they just turned it over to my attorneys. And now they're trying to figure out how they're gonna make it available for me to go through it. And, we're going to go through that. And then we're going to, we're going to figure out what's in there, and then we're going to move forward with the forensic motion. So it was unbelievable, man. I mean, unbelievable.
You haven't really gotten a win in that courtroom, at all.
The forensic motion has been pending for quite some time now. We've been through, I think. Tammy would probably have better records than I do, but I mean, we've been through, I think, three judges now while it's been pending and trying to work this through.
Right. That's what I was thinking of, that you were trying to do testing for a long time.
The new judge that we've got now, though, man, he's really pushing it. He's pushing it to make it through,
Well, that's good. Can you explain a little? I'm a little confused. So you said that when you asked for the documents for forensic testing, that they dumped 8,000 some pages on your attorneys, but then the attorneys were fighting to get those documents. Did they have them, but they weren't allowed to use them? Or I'm a little confused about that.
No, we never had them.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing. When I went to trial back in 1999 or 2000, 2001, they gave us a total of 900 and less than 1,000 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So when we filed this motion for the forensic testing, they did this document dump, and it was they dumped 8,000 pages on them, and they were like, wait a minute, hold up, it was surprising to them as well. They didn't even know it. And, of course the state then was like, well, wait a minute, we don't want to give it to them. And my lawyer's like, no, the cat's out the bag now. You're going to have to turn it over, and the judge sided with us.
Okay, I get it. So they had produced them, but didn't want to hand them over, and that's what the motion was for.
You know, what's really crazy, right, is had they have just been, you know what, guys, in the interest of justice and doing the right thing, we're going to let you just, you know, test whatever you want to test. Do whatever testing you want to do, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We would have never known that there was 8,000 pages of documents that hadn't been turned over. But since they wanted to fight it, and we had to issue subpoenas and all that legal wrangling was going on, is how we found out about it. So I guess I'm glad they fought it, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, because that could open up a whole nother window for you for your appeal because, I mean, shit, if they only turned over 900 pages in discovery for trial and there was, you know, over 7,000 more pages they didn't give you there. You'd sure hope there's some Brady material in there. I would be shocked if there wasn't.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm positive there's Brady stuff in there. When I asked Tara Thompson, who represented me, she's looked through some of it, right? They let her look through it. But they wouldn't let her make copies, and they told her, you know, you can't make copies. You can take notes, but you can't make copies, and you can't tell the defendant. You know, you can't tell me what's in there, which is crazy, right? I mean, I'm the defendant. I can't know what's in the discovery material,
right?
And so she looked through it, you know, and I asked her, you know, I'm like, you know, is there stuff in there that, you know, is that we're going to be able to use? And she's like, absolutely. And that was part of some of the motion to get the records. And I know Tammy has a copy of the motion. They kind of mentioned some of the stuff that was in there, failures to identify me, you know, identifications of other suspects, evidence that would have either contradicted or impeached the testimony of the people that they used to, you know, at trial. I mean, all that stuff is Brady material, you know, so.
Right.
You know, it's, I'll tell you, Bob, after 22 years of no, it's a real nice change of pace, you know, to finally get, you know, someone to say yes, you know.
Yeah.
You know, listen, it's a little disappointing, though, that, you know, all of my appeals, you know, my direct appeal, my post-conviction, my federal habeas, they're all devoid of anything that we're going to find in those 8,000 pages because of the fact that they withheld them in the first place. So that's a little, you know, discouraging. But
well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Because there's a real good chance you could find something in there that could set you free. And at the same time, if that's the case, that was probably stuff that was in there that could have, one, kept you out of prison to begin with, and two, could have got you released a lot sooner if you had it.
Yeah, you're right, you know, and it's a real, you know, sad commentary on our justice system, man. It's broken, you know, and the people that did this, the people that, you know, withheld it in the very beginning, I mean, they're all retired. They're, you know, sitting at home getting their pensions, man, and it's, you know, but hey, I'm encouraged, man. I'll tell you, man, I have more hope now, you know, for the upcoming year, than I've had in the last, you know, since 1999 when I was arrested. And I'm serious. I mean that.
Well, that's great. I mean, it sounds incredibly encouraging. It's, you know, you mentioned the system being broken. And as I'm just sitting here thinking about this, and because I don't think I really grasped the gravity of, I was reading about it, that you got these documents, and I guess it hadn't really occurred to me that there's bound to be Brady violations in there because you already know they were withheld. All they have to do now is prove that they're material. But what kills me is that we have a system that, first of all, you have a state's attorney's office that would fight you from getting the documents from your own case. And two, that had to be a fight. Like, there was even a, I mean, the ruling came down the right way, but God, how is there even a question for you not to be able to have the documents the police used to build this case?
You know, you're right. And I'll tell you, man, I mean, it's unbelievable, man. Just imagine, you know, you're in prison, you're convicted of a crime like this. You've been locked up for, you know, 2 decades, and you still don't know what was available to you to defend yourself in the first place. That's not how it's supposed to be, man. That's not how it's supposed to be for me. It isn't. That's not how it's supposed to be for you or anybody else in this country, man. That's not what, you know, our justice system is supposed to be about. But that's exactly what happened. So,
yeah, it's terrible. But I'm glad to hear you have hope, man. I'm super hopeful. I'm sure your attorneys right now are just frothing, getting ready to dig through all of these documents to figure out what's in there.
Yeah, I think so.
We have one minute left.
You know, I'll tell you what, man. Lauren Myerscough Mueller, my newest attorney, and Carl Leonard. Man, I'll tell you what. She argued that motion like, boy, I was just like, holy. You know, I was in awe of the way she was in there arguing it, man. And she was, you know, she's pregnant, you know, and she was sick, you know, and I was like, oh my God, you know, I felt so bad for her, right? And I mean, she got down, man. I was like, wow, you know, women really are, the rulers of the world, man. I'm telling you, I couldn't have did it, you know. Listen, you know, something that they did find in those documents that Tara did find. I mean, there's the main prosecutor on my case was working a deal with a federal prosecutor before I'd even been sentenced for one of the jailhouse snitches, and there were letters going back and forth, and she knew that this dude had testified that he wasn't getting anything in return for his testimony, when really she was working a deal behind the scenes, you know, with a federal prosecutor. I mean, those letters are in there. You know, we've gotten memos in there where, you know, one of the main investigators on the night of the crime was actually looking out the window that Carlos Luna said he was looking at, you know, looking out on the night of the crime. And the investigator was saying, look, this kid couldn't make an identification if he wanted to make one, you know. And he said, because I looked out that window. And, you know, and he's like, I couldn't even identify people that were walking around in the parking lot that night. You know, that's just some of the stuff that was in there. So, yeah, man, there's some very, very strong Brady material that we know is in there. So it's, you know, it's a whole can of worms.
Well, just with those two things, I mean, the fact that you have a jailhouse informant testifying that he's not getting any compensation for his testimony, and you have proof that the prosecutor prior to that was working on this federal deal for him, I mean, that's already a violation of your constitutional rights. And the fact that they used Carlos Luna to identify you when there's a cop that already said that he knows that's impossible. I mean, it's terrible.
Can you imagine the power, man, I would have had if I would have known about those memos, man? I could have made that officer get up on the stand and testify to his observations that night. It wasn't a mistake. You know, they didn't just overlook those papers and not turn them over, man. They withheld that for a reason. They did it on purpose, you know. And it's discouraging sometimes when I look at it, man. It's really discouraging. But then at the other end of the spectrum, you know, I mean, I mean, what am I going to do, Bob? I have to just keep on, you know, keeping on, man. I just have to keep on fighting. And, And, you know, when you're innocent, man, you know that the evidence that's going to prove that you're innocent is out there somewhere. And I've just been chipping away and chipping away. And it's starting to pay dividends now, man. The truth is beginning to start to, you know, float to the top, I guess.
You know, I always tell people when we're looking at these wrongful conviction cases that just look at the behavior of the people that are involved and it'll tell you who's on the right side of it. So it seems to me while you're begging for these documents, is there anything that you're worried about finding in a case file that's going to make you more guilty?
Something that's in the case file that's going to make me look guilty?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. If there was something in there that was going to make me look guilty, they would have used it 22 years ago.
Right.
No, sir. They're not going to withhold nothing like that, Bob.
Yeah, and you're trying to do forensic testing, and that's what I'm saying. So you've got you just saying, give me everything. I want every piece of paper, everything involved with the case. I want you to forensically test everything available. You know, that's if you're guilty, what you don't want to see. Now, on the other side of that, you've got the prosecutor's office who's claiming they have some confidence in their conviction, fighting like hell to stop you from seeing the information that they had before the trial. Now you tell me who knows that they're wrong in that scenario.
Well, they do. You're right. They know they're wrong.
And I think you're exactly right. This wasn't a mistake.
They would have already done the quality testing. They would have let us do it.
Right.
You know, but because I'm in downstate Illinois in a very conservative county, they're fighting tooth and nail, you know.
I hate that they get to use the excuse that they always say? They always say they have to protect the integrity of the previous convictions and trials. You know, like they're some sort of justice warriors by not allowing people to test forensic evidence or to get all their documents, that they're the white horse somehow, they're the white hat because they're the ones that are protecting the integrity of the system, and it's just complete bullshit.
No, I think that is bullshit, right? But I understand where it's coming from. I get where they're coming with that, right? But the administration that was in power when I was convicted, you know, they have multiple cases coming out of that county under those prosecutors that are being scrutinized. I mean, there's five cases. All five guys have been represented by Exoneration Project. Three guys have been exonerated or otherwise, you know, got reversals and remands and ended up getting out. And then there's two others left. I mean, I don't know if you can protect that sort of integrity, man. I mean, there's a huge black cloud over the state attorney that prosecuted this. And I would think that the new prosecutor's office would be like, you know what, I don't want to fight for that. Let's just be transparent and let's see what's going on. But they're not. So,
right. Well, it's par for the course if they're the one. You know, it's the same. I know it's different people, but it's the same office. It's the same system that did it originally. You know, I want to ask you every time I've ever spoken with you over these years, you always maintain a pretty upbeat attitude about things. How do you manage to keep a positive attitude at least as best as you can, given obviously the wrongful conviction, the 22 years in prison, and even what you just mentioned, you know, watching three other people walk out of prison while you're still there? How do you get by day to day and keep your chin up?
You know, I don't think I have a choice. You know, I either have to keep fighting, Bob, or I have to give up. And I'm not going to quit fighting. I'm innocent. I didn't do it. And I'm going to stand on that. I'm just going to keep on fighting. I guess that's the only answer I can give you, man. I'm innocent. You know, and I'm never going to give that up. I'm gonna tell you what, man. You've got the best listeners, man. I mean, your Truth and Justice Army, man, they're awesome, man. So many of them contact me and wish me well and keep me going. And you know, I just want to thank them for being interested in what's going on with me and being a part of, everything that we're doing, everything that you're doing. And I just want to wish them all, a safe and a happy holidays and just tell them don't give up on me yet, man. There's some miracles on the way, there's some miracles in the mix this year. So 2022 may actually be my year, man.
Buddy, I hope that's the case, and we'll be pulling for you, and we'll continue to follow your case every step of the way as you work through this.
Okay, man. Listen, I appreciate you, Bob, and I appreciate everything that you do for me and everything that you do for all the other guys that are, fighting to get out, man. I really do. I appreciate you, man. So, have a safe and Merry Christmas, man.
You do the same, Jamie. Take care, buddy.
All right, Bob. Take care.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Produced and edited by Mike Bussing and sound engineered by Shane Yoder. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. All of our font across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. You can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, TruthAndJusticePod.com, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Charlena White, Kaywood Yomnick, Ginger Fiola, Edith Swanneck, Lindsay Pease, Erica Cantor, and Jen Reese Incandela. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in a number of ways. To financially support the show, you can go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. On the Patreon page, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we also have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes videos of the creation of our Friday follow-up episodes that always include 10 to 30 minutes of pre-show bonus chat. Other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. To become a patron, just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. Lastly, you can always support us by supporting the companies that sponsor this program. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. For all of you tweeters, you can connect with us on Twitter at Truth Justice Pod. And I personally can be found on social media at Bob Ruff Truth, and Mike can be found at Merb Gaming. MURRBGAMING. Don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.
The Ford Ranger, a vehicle for all terrains and every passion. It's a workmate, a playmate, and to its drivers, a soulmate. So how do you improve the Ford Ranger? You go all in. The all-new Ford Ranger, the UK's best-selling pickup. Now available with rear bumper steps, tailgate workbench, and enlarged load box that can fit a Euro pallet. Go break it in. Search all-new Ford Ranger. Ford Pro. Driving productivity. According to SMMT data, features may be optional extras with additional cost.